know that once Christmas and New Year's hit, that there is a great movement of discouragement, depression that happens. And I wonder what it means, God with us. God with us, not for a season, not for a time, not until we do something that displeases him, but God with us. What does that mean? One of the things that I thought it doesn't mean is God against us. How many of us have authority in our life? How many of us know people of a position of title who come with an intent, an agenda, to catch us in what we're doing wrong, to rebuke, to punish? And we recognize those things when people come to us of authority. Our King, our Savior, our Lord came as a baby to a people who were rebellious. There was none righteous. None of us is righteous. Not one. And he came in the midst of this knowing that he was going to be rejected. Knowing he was going to be crucified. One thing, God did not come to be against us. Emmanuel came to be with us. His sinful, rebellious, yet precious creation, he came to be with us. He did not come that we would try to appease him, or that we would try to demonstrate our worth to him. He did not come to be served. Matthew 20, verse 28. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served. And then to give away his life in exchange for the many who are held hostage. He gave his life away, in order to rescue those who were held in bondage, that were hostage, taken hostage. This is Emmanuel who has come. And he came for us. In our time of meditation, of preparation for the Lord's table, I have three sections. There's some things that come out of Scripture, some names of Jesus that are who he was when he came in the flesh, who he is now, currently, and forever, eternally, as God. But the last group is who he is to me. He is mine. How many people do we know that come into this season and say, the Christ child or the baby is the real reason? But there is such a separation of relationship. That baby Jesus is not, had did not come for them, they believe. In their heart of hearts, he is some external feel-good idea. Maybe he existed, maybe he didn't. Maybe there was a manger, maybe there wasn't. Maybe these things are true, maybe they aren't. But Jesus is not theirs. And so as we go walk through these things, there's going to be a little music playing in the background. I just want you to sit and meditate on who he was, who he is, because who he was and who he is was given for you, is for you. And he is ours. This King is our King. This Messiah is our Messiah. Paul said in Ephesians, you were without hope, without God. You were without a Messiah, without the promise of a Messiah. Yet God brought you in to a family, to a nation, to a building, to a temple, where God abides by his Spirit. He is there and has always been there over, given over to you, to me. And so if we could have the lights down just a little bit, as you go through this, sit and dwell on it. Meditate on it, because it's truth. You're highly favored. And we think that of Mary. We think that of the disciples. We think of those people. But the Savior was given for you just as much as he was given for Mary. You are highly favored. You are someone who God takes great delight in. All those more than words and names and labels, all that God has revealed to us through Scripture, through life, he is for you. Ephesians says that he has been elevated for the church. We learned in Sunday school that the personhood, the character of God is one in a position of generosity and grace and always other than. And he's that for you. What Jesus has done in regards to restoring relationship with his creation is very much personal. We do not take this table as something we do habitually in order that we keep a schedule or that we can think of good things. Just like Christmas comes around and, hey, let's think of some good things. There are a lot of good things about the season. Family, sharing meals together, giving gifts, demonstrating generosity. But if we've lost Jesus, the essence of all those things are meaningless. If we've lost Jesus from communion, from taking the Lord's table, it is useless. He is our redemption. He is our sacrifice. He is our Passover. He is the Lamb. He is the one that was slain. He is the one who's given his life in order that you and I would have life. That's what we recognize. That's why we come together. That's why we do this. It's not only to remember a passage into eternity or into heaven. It is to remember the love that had to be in the heart of God for the Father to send his Son and his Son to walk through what he walked through. That, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, is love. That is the ultimate sign of generosity and of grace. Let's take a couple more minutes. Pat, if you could come. Let's take a couple minutes and just reflect on those things. What is he saying to you? If this is true, if Jesus did come as a babe, if he did live his life, if he did give himself, if that gave us relationship, and if it's personal, then I believe that God by his Spirit speaks. And therefore, I feel like I'm on fairly solid ground. I'm on solid ground when I say that if we pursue him in relationship, that he will speak to us. We are his kids. We are the ones who he takes delight in. Let's take a couple minutes. Whatever he's saying, whatever he is saying, listen. It's not a matter of him communicating. It's a matter of us listening. Let's take the time and listen. You know what the passage we studied in Sunday school this morning? 1 Corinthians 11. We were talking about that and how this group in Corinth was doing things in such a selfish manner. And I believe Paul took that in contrast as he saw that, and even pointed it out, even in their taking of communion, they were competing with one another. There were divisions. One person was full and getting drunk while someone was going hungry. And I believe he was saying, can we just stop and look at Jesus? The one who came, obviously we just discussed that, but gave his body fully broken for his friends. For the joy that was set before him, which I believe it was us. This was the joy in his heart, was us being reconciled, having relationship. But there had to be a sacrifice. There had to be an eternal sacrifice for this to happen. The whole morning has been about family. Well, we're only family because of Jesus. We're only family. We're only here, really, and have relationship. And all those beautiful things we have in this relationship is because of Jesus. He gave his body broken. He took the bread. After he gave thanks, he broke it. He said, this is my body broken for you. Let's take it. See if I can put this into words. We do things in formality sometimes. Nothing wrong with a form. But we serve communion like this. It wasn't like what they did when Paul wrote that letter to the church in Corinth. I was thinking about that, and if there's something that has to be done in some kind of formal process, my personality usually is one, whether sinful or the way God bent me, I don't know, I haven't figured it out, is to do it not that way. You know? I don't know. So a lot of times in the formality of things, I mess up. So when I've served communion before, Lance can remember this, I think, I went and reached for the cup first and started to pass that out, then realized what I was doing. I was just thinking about the formality that had to happen in sequence in the Old Testament when they were approaching God. And things had to be a certain way. They would even tie a rope to someone when they went into the Holy of Holies. So if God struck them down because they didn't do something in sequence, they could yank him out. I am so grateful for the New Covenant. I am so grateful that Christ's blood is payment of all my sin. Or, if you want to put it this way, all the things that I do wrong. All my thoughts, all my actions, all my responses, all my reactions. All those things that I do that are not right, miss the mark, Jesus' blood is paid for. I think I've shared this with you before. There's times that I'll do something and I go to God. I've walked with him for closely, probably for 30 plus years. And I'll go to him still, expecting almost, or subconsciously expecting that he's going to punish me. And he stops me sometimes. He says, Brian, the penalty's done. It's been paid for. There's nothing that you can do or try to force yourself into that will punish you. I took that punishment. The sin that you commit, I paid for once and for all. It's done. Almost like God sometimes says, Brian, get over it. You're not getting punished. Move on. God is so good. And Jesus said, you know what, friends, as he sat with his disciples, he probably had an understanding of what was going to happen. They had no clue of the blood that was probably going to, some of them were probably going to see. But he told them at that point, okay guys, this blood will be shed. Generously will be shed. For you, the new covenant that's going to come where my spirit resides in people and that their sin will be done away with is going to be written in my blood. Very personal. Obviously to Jesus, very personal to us. That what he determined to do in the world to reconcile man to himself would come at a cost of his blood. This is the new covenant. We live in the new covenant. You know what the next great thing that's going to come? The return of the King. And we're going to take this one last time with him. But he says, until that time, remember my blood that was shed generously for your sin. Without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Enjoy the time that we have now and look forward to the time when he's coming back. He's not coming back as a baby. He's not coming back in a place of humility and sorrow. He's coming back as the conquering King, the one who has conquered death and sin and anything else that would entangle us. And we will have our home with him. Until that time, let's take together as a family his blood that was shed for us. A righteous King, you are who you say you are. You are the great I Am. You are the first and the last. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the soon to return King. And all these things that we know of and the majority to infinity that we don't know of you, Jesus, is all for our enjoyment of relationship with you. Your riches, your resources, your character, your gifts, your blessings, your grace, your mercy, your love, all these things are being poured out onto mankind. What a blessed thought. We love you. There's no one like you. You are our King. You are our all in all. And so, God, we will remember the death of the Son of God, the Lamb that was slain. But we remember in places of hope and anticipation that someday we will see you, Jesus. And you'll speak our name, the name we don't know, the name that is special to us. And you'll welcome us in. Those things we know in part right now, we will know in whole. All to the praise and the glory of the name of Jesus, we pray.